welcome to another episode of Soaper's Chat. I'm your host, Christy. We're going to get things off by starting simple. What does starting simple means? That means that if you are looking at a daunting task of making soap and you just don't have it in you, but you want to make soap, just be simple. You don't have to do like a hanger swirl. You don't have to do an in the pot swirl, a Taiwanese swirl. Those, you look at them. I don't know about you, but me, it just makes me tired. I'm just like, oof. I need time. Sometimes those, you just need the mental energy to be able to handle those. Sometimes it's easier just to make a soap, even if it's all natural colored, which might not be a bad thing if you have a fragrant soap that's just one color. Some people like plain. They'll use the soap. Whereas if you do a fancy decorative, take you 5 hours to design and make the soap and it looks absolutely beautiful, no one will use it because it's too pretty. Whereas if you do a simple, plain, one-color soap, they may be like, oh, this smells great. I'm going to throw this in my shower right away. So don't be afraid to do that. I mean, at most, you could always throw one color in and just kind of do dual color, like one shade of tan and another shade of lighter tan, using titanium dioxide, for example. So don't be afraid to do that. I know the last time I made soap, which feels like it was a million years ago, was before the end of the year. 2023, I know, where the heck have I been? I had one soap that took me maybe a half hour to do, and I think it was three colors, and then I had another one that took me an hour and a half, and it was just simply because I was on doing a video because at the same time, because sometimes I like to chat on video while making soap, so yeah, sometimes that's fun. But I was like, wow, I can't believe it only took me a half hour to whip out that soap. What about that soap only took a half hour? And part of it was because I wasn't doing a video. So yeah, if you want to go quick, that also helps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anywho, but yeah, don't be afraid to go simple with the soap. If you just want a soap, just for the heart of soaping. Also, if you can't afford micas, which is a thing, there's nothing wrong with, you know, kind of starting small and working your way up. Not a bad thing at all. Just kind of go slow. Take advantage of de-stash pages also. If you're starting out and you don't have the pennies to kind of get all the pretty things, don't be afraid to hit the de-stash pages, because those can be wonderful for getting started. If you need like silicone molds, if you need wood molds, if you need micas, boy, sometimes you have to be quick out of the gate with the micas, because sometimes when people put those out there, snaps them up, they're gone. So you got to be quick. Not always, but sometimes you can find some really good things on there. And in turn, if you've got all the things and you're like, I'm drowning in stuff that I really don't need, de-stash pages, they're wonderful. The next thing I want to talk about is special request soaps. I found this happening during the holidays when I had some of my vending events. That's something we might talk about a little bit later. If you're interested in vending events, I'm not an expert at vending events. I know just enough to be dangerous. That's kind of like a textbook quote unquote thing. Just enough to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I noticed some people would say, hey, do you have this fragrance soap? Like, one woman wanted a Lily of the Valley and I didn't have Lily of the Valley. And I'm like, do I have that Lily of the Valley fragrance? I was like, I can't remember if I got that fragrance. Something in the back of my head said, check your stash. The other side of my head said, buy the thing. And of course, did I listen to the check your stash? Nope. Should I have? Yep. Because I bought it and found it in my stash too. So I was like, great. But that's okay. It's not a bad fragrance. It actually smells really good. And according to what I've been finding, it actually behaves in soap. Nice, isn't it? So getting back to my original tangent before I kind of ran off in left field. If somebody requests a special, like, do you have this soap, and you don't, and they want you to make it, don't be afraid to say, I can take special order requests, and that's where you can use those 1 pound molds to do special requests. You can kind of set a guideline to say, you know, I can take a special order. It's a 3-bar minimum, because that's usually what you can get out of a 1 pound mold. And then say, you know, something to the effect of, I do require 50% down to at least cover your supplies. That way, if they don't come back for the soap, you've at least, and it's a non-refundable deposit of 50% down, and make sure that's documented when you work out an arrangement with them, because that's experience. But 50% down, and then they have to pay the rest on delivery. Pardon me, delivery you could do where you mail it to them, where you meet them somewhere, where they pick up, depending on what your circumstances are. But please don't sell yourself short. Do at least 50% down when setting something like that up, because there are so many times when somebody will say, oh, I would really love it if you made this such and such a fragrance, but that's as far as it goes. So you think, you know what, I will. Like me, it was making the cotton fragrance from Brambleberry. Oh my God, I don't like that smell. And I held on to those bars for the longest time, and I had to put them in a box, one of those plastic shoe boxes, because I couldn't handle the smell. It's absolutely, ugh, I don't like it. That's just me. But yeah, long story short, if somebody wants something like that, 50% down at least, or whatever, you take something. Don't do it just because they were like, oh, I would love it, I'll pay you as soon as you come up with it and I can get it. No, because sometimes what ends up happening is they ghost you, and that's not cool. So that's kind of where you can figure out who's really interested in actually making the purchase. If they want the 3 bars, okay. If they want more, you know, don't make for free. You know, you might be able to sell them, you might not. So don't be afraid to kind of work that out. But stick to your guns. That way you don't lose money in the process, and you don't have one of those situations where you have soaps that sit on your rack forever and you just hate to look at them because, ugh, if only. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do the if only. Next thing I want to talk about, because I thought this was really cool, is the Soap Challenge Club. The challenge for February is a dipping technique. I'll include a link to the Soap Challenge Club for your viewing pleasure. But the dipping technique, wow, I really want to try this. And the nice thing is this month is $14.95. I really want to register. I'd love to try that out. Oh, it's open until, oh, darn it, it's right around the corner. February 5th at 4 p.m. Central Time is how long it's open until. So jump on the gun if you want to take advantage. This is actually a beginner-friendly technique. It looks really cool. I can see a lot of benefits with this one, especially if you're in a situation where you only want to make a single color soap. And then later you're just like, I want to add the pretty to the top of it. This is your chance here. This is pretty cool. So they've got the dipping technique there. Now, what will it be included with that is the instructional video, the written for those who also like to read it to try to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. And then, of course, you can enter your project to qualify for prizes. Always love the prizes. They're so much fun. The prize for this month is a 3-year digital subscription for the Making Soap and Cosmetics magazine, Varvar Cole. So that's the grand prize. Take advantage of that. And then, of course, they have where if you sign up for February, March, and April, which is $40.50, that's 10% off each month. You can take advantage of the other competitions that are going on, the challenges. March is an intermediate. It's a framed landscape. April is a drop swirl. Which is beginner friendly, because the nice thing about that one is you kind of just drop the soap into the mold. Yeah, that's kind of there for you. So that's April, and then March is the framed landscape. That one looks intimidating to me, but keep an open mind. Always keep an open mind when it comes to soaping or making any other products, because you never know. It might be that thing that sets you apart from other soapers. It's like, I learned to do this and I do it well. And people are like, oh, go to her for, or him for this. That way you kind of, it becomes your thing. You never know. You may go from making cold or hot processed soaps to making body washes or body butters, things like that. It's really nice to be able to kind of take it beyond and say, oh, you know what? You don't like bar soaps. You use body washes in the shower. No problem. Got body washes. If you ever go to Tara Lee on YouTube, I'll include a link in the doobly-doo. She has a body wash recipe, which is nice to have that in your repertoire, because some people don't like to use bar soap, and that's okay. You can say, you know what, I understand you don't like to use bar soap. Here, I have body washes. So people can't, if they just don't want to buy from you, just say, I don't want to buy from you. But otherwise, you know, you have that as an alternative. But if you can only financially do one thing, you know, if you want to do bar soap, great. If you want to do body washes, great. Don't hinder yourself. You know, just do what you love and the money will follow. I've heard that before. The other thing, I decided I was going to read through, I thought this was really funny, the, transparent soap, from Love and Soap. They have a, clear transparent soap from scratch quick method, and I'll include a link in the doobly-doo as well. Love including those. She also has a ebook to learn to make clear transparent soap from scratch. I've never done it. It looks very intimidating to me because some of it uses, I've seen them use Everclear, and I'm like, I don't know about that. That is a solvent, and I'm kind of intimidated by that. I'm like, I'm not going to use that. So you can use isopropyl alcohol though, which is fantastic because most of us use isopropyl alcohol for cleaning up stuff. So yeah, that works out. But this might be something I want. I haven't tried it yet. I'm intimidated. I'm going to be reading through this. I may make a very small batch of it. But I will follow up and let you know how it turns out. Apparently it just uses stearic acid and coconut oil, which I have both of. So I'm going to try to make a small batch and see how that turns out. But she's got a couple of recipes on her blog. They all seem to use stearic acid and coconut oil, which is not bad. But that'll be a very cleansing soap. So I'm going to tell you that right now, because stearic acid's a hard wax. Coconut oil is very bubbly, but very drying. Oh, batch 4 is nice though, because it has castor oil, which bubbly, and rice bran oil. So that's not bad. I don't have any rice bran oil. I'll have to look for that. Won't be too bad. I think you can get that at the grocery store. So that's not a bad thing. But yeah, that's going to be my experiment. I'm very nervous. I'm going to do some looking through it. If you want to give it a try and let us know your results, feel free to post it on the Soapers Chat Facebook group to show how it turned out for you. And that way we can all see. I'm very intimidated by it, but I'm going to keep an open mind and try and give it a shot and see, how my experiment, do I anticipate selling this? No. Will I use it? Yes. But yeah, oh gosh, I'm a little nervous about that. Have I mentioned I'm a little nervous about that? Yeah, so stay tuned to see how it turns out with my transparent soap attempt. Fun. Kind of turning to a more serious note, something came up yesterday, here locally, and it kind of made me want to reiterate, be careful when you're using sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, the lye. Which is also what's in drain cleaner. A small child was injured when they became exposed to it, and they had to be airlifted to the hospital. Not fun. So if you do have an emergency with either sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, please make sure that you do not use vinegar, number one. That'll make things worse. But you follow what is in the materials safety data sheet, the MSDS sheets that the manufacturer supplies for addressing in the event you become exposed to the sodium hydroxide or the potassium hydroxide. I can't stress that enough. Even one little granule can have an impact. The reason I know this is because a few years ago I was soaping, and luckily I was wearing eye protection. Please, please, please always wear eye protection. I don't care if you wear goggles or if you use safety glasses. make sure that you have some form of eye protection, but I had one little granule. I wish I could find sodium hydroxide flakes. They're kind of getting harder to find, but I had a granule, just a little granule. It somehow managed to get up into the corner of my safety glasses. So it got between my nose and my cheek, and I didn't know it was there. And luckily, after I soap, I go in, I wash my face, I take a shower, so that just in case, but it still was there long enough to where it gave me a little bit of a burn, which I looked at it first going, I wonder what that is. I thought it, of course, adult onset acne, but no, it was a burn from lye. So be very careful. They usually suggest flushing with water, but I'm going to 100% always agree with whatever the MSDS sheets state. Go with those 100% of the time. I know that there's usually people say, oh, flush with this, do that. No, always follow the manufacturer's safety guidelines with it 100% of the time. So that way you and others in your area that when you soap are safe. So please be careful. I have talked about safety before. There's tons of videos on YouTube, on website. Brambleberry has a great one that talks about safety for soaping safety. Talk about things to use. So please, please, please follow those guidelines, especially if you haven't soaped yet. If you haven't soaped yet, follow all safety guidelines before you go down this trail. Now, of course, if you use melt and pour soap, not as dangerous, still dangerous because you have to melt it down in order to use it. So you can be exposed to high temperatures with that. So follow safety guidelines with that as well. Usually the manufacturers of the melt and pour soap have MSDS sheets as well. Follow those recommendations 100% of the time. I can't stress it enough. All right. So that's all I've got for this episode. If you have any questions, again, feel free to reach out. SopersChat@outlook.com. Go on the Facebook page, Sopers Chat Facebook page. I'll include links in the doobly-doo down there. Otherwise, I hope you have a wonderful time and we will chat later. Bye.